We are witnesses of the resurrection. Christ is risen, hallelujah. Christ is risen from the dead. Christ is risen, hallelujah. Christ is risen from the dead. He's our victorious head, and so we sing his praises. Christ is risen. Christ is risen. Yes. Did you notice in our scripture reading from Revelation, it says, Amen, Amen? Yes. Thank you, Matt. That's a beautiful text. Revelation was meant to be read from chapter 1, verse 1, all the way through chapter 22 to the very end in one service of worship. That was before people worried about making sure that worship was only 55 to 60 minutes. Here's the question that I've been wrestling with all week. As I've been meditating upon our lessons for tonight, where the disciples are locked, imprisoned, jailed, if you will, on Easter evening behind locked doors, as I looked at the text from Revelation where St. John is exiled, imprisoned on the island of Patmos, as I looked at the book of Acts and I saw that the apostles were imprisoned, put into the common jail, here's the question that I've been wrestling with. If I am a faithful witness of Jesus Christ, then why am I not in jail? Have you ever asked yourself that question? We can't escape that question in light of our scripture readings for tonight. If I'm following Jesus, if I'm a servant of the resurrection, a proclaimer of Easter, then why am I not in prison and persecuted and suffering for the faith? St. Paul, when he was in prison, wrote Philippians, a prison epistle. They put him in prison so that they could shut him up. And Paul said, they tried to put a muzzle on me. Instead, they gave me a megaphone. Now I've got all kinds of pagans to tell Jesus. I get to tell them about Jesus, he said. In other words, they put him in prison, and prison became for him a pulpit for the proclamation of the resurrection. Count it all joy when suffering comes your way. Because God is going to use those circumstances as a pulpit for you to proclaim the good news of Jesus crucified and risen for the forgiveness of our sins. St. John was exiled on the island of Patmos. That's about 45 miles southwest of modern-day Turkey, Asia Minor. Patmos was about 13 square miles of rugged terrain where the Romans would use those in prison to do their mining. According to tradition, St. John the Evangelist, around 95 AD, was condemned to death. And so they had a boiling cauldron of oil. You got that picture? A boiling cauldron of oil, and they threw St. John into there so that they could martyr him, kill him, because of his testimony for Jesus. But it didn't hurt him at all. So they went to plan B, and they exiled him on the island of Patmos, where he wouldn't have a congregation, where he couldn't preach. But even on Patmos, on the Lord's Day, Sunday, in the Spirit, worshiping, he continued to sing the praises of Easter and resurrection and to the other prisoners to proclaim the good news of Jesus. He knew that imprisonment would never be a muzzle. It would be a megaphone to tell others about Jesus Christ. Patmos, in the Lord's Day. On the Lord's Day, in the Spirit, Jesus the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit comes to John and gives him the revelation of Jesus Christ. Not a prophecy, in other words, prediction of the end times, but a prophecy, a proclamation that Jesus Christ is Lord. And that we can patiently endure suffering and imprisonment and everything that Satan throws our way because the message of revelation, in one word, is God wins. Satan loses. God wins. As Matt was reading the lesson, this is a revelation that needs to be shared with the churches of Asia Minor. And did you hear how Jesus is revealed? He's the firstborn of the dead. That means that resurrection is our inheritance too. He's the ruler of the kings of this earth. The emperor of Rome, the governors of our states, the president of the United States, none of that matters. Because Jesus is the ruler of the kings of this world. And Jesus is the faithful witness. The word witness means martyr, martyria. It means someone who gives their life for the kingdom of God, for the sake of Jesus. For us to be witnesses of the resurrection means that we are called by God to be martyrs, people of faith who live their lives and give their lives for the good news of Jesus Christ, for the salvation that is ours and the salvation that God wants the world to receive as well. And then, if you've ever heard the phrase, he ought to be locked up, they ought to lock him up and throw away the key. You've heard that phrase, right? Lock him up, throw away the key. What are you going to do, John says in Revelation 1, when Jesus holds the keys to death and Hades? I mean, good luck with that, right? Go ahead. Take your best shot, Satan. Lock me up. But you can't silence the gospel. Put me to death, Satan. You can't win because Jesus is the firstborn of the dead and he's got the keys to death and Hades. John needed a word of encouragement and hope and promise, because sometimes when you're imprisoned, the beast can get the best of you. You can lose heart. You can start to lose your confidence, your courage, your assurance that Jesus is Lord. So already, and throughout this season of Easter, we're going to get text every week from Revelation and from the book of Acts. Listen carefully to these words of God. If I'm following Jesus, if I am in fact a witness of the resurrection, then why am I not suffering? Why am I not persecuted for the faith? Why am I not in jail? It's a good question for us to ask. And if we look at what's happening around the world to other people, we might know that our days are coming too. On Easter Sunday, a week ago, in Lahore, Pakistan, Christians are less than 2% of the population. The vast majority are Muslims. And so the Christians, when they're in Lahore Park, as they were celebrating the resurrection, a suicide bomber came in. I think it was like 75 people that were killed, over 400 that were injured. A lot of them that were killed, little children. Who targets little children just because they're Christians? Who does that? Pakistan, in terms of the watch list, is number 6 in the world as far as endangerment to Christians. And then I found out this past week that the majority of the people that were killed in that park were Muslims. You see what the evil one does? According to the book of Revelation, evil will consume itself. In its hatred for Christianity and followers of Christ, evil will consume itself in the end. And it always attacks the innocent ones, the little ones. In the book of Acts, you only get a small snippet for tonight. I should have probably had Matt read all of chapter 5. He probably, as he was looking at it, he probably said, you know, Dave, how come you didn't let me read the whole chapter? Because it's a narrative. I mean, you got to know what's going on there, right? But you got just enough of it to whet your appetite, where I'm sure that sometime this week, you're going to want to read all of chapter 5. It's an amazing story. And it really starts before that. Do you remember on the night that Jesus was betrayed? That Peter said, doesn't matter if they all fall away, Jesus. You can count on me. I'll go to the cross for you. I'll die for you. I'll die with you. And Jesus said, Simon, Simon, Satan demanded to sift you like wheat, but I prayed for you. I'm praying for you, Peter, so that when you turn again, you can strengthen your brothers. Before the cock crows, you'll deny me 3 times. You know that story. And the cock crowed, and sure enough, he had denied Jesus, and he wept bitterly. But then he's restored. Little by little, he's filled with the Holy Spirit. Jesus breathes on him and sends him out with the gospel. In the book of Acts, right before the ascension of Jesus, chapter 1, Jesus says, stay in Jerusalem until you are clothed with power from on high. And you shall be my witnesses. That's martyrs. The word power is dunamis. It's dynamite. You're going to receive the explosive power of the Holy Spirit, and you're going to be my witnesses, my martyrs, in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the world. And then Pentecost comes, the 50th day of Easter. And when Pentecost arrives, you remember what happens. They're all filled with the Holy Spirit. They're ignited for proclamation. And even though the people are discounting them and saying, oh, they're just filled with new wine. They're drunk. They're crazy. Peter preaches, and he's emboldened when he preaches. And at the end of that day, well, there might have been tens of thousands of people there. It's not like that they all fell on their knees. But 3,000 people heard the gospel. 3,000 people were cut to the heart. They repented. And they were baptized into the kingdom. And they received the gift of salvation in the name of Jesus. You see, that's what precedes chapter 5. And from then on, these apostles, they're bold. They're courageous. I mean, it's not like they have a death wish, okay? I'm not suggesting when I say about, well, why am I not in jail, that I should have a death wish, you know, and I should go and do something foolish and stupid. But you see, they were emboldened. They were empowered by the Holy Spirit. They were courageous. They were fearless in faith for Jesus. And so in chapter 5, they are healing the sick, and they're casting out demons, and the power of the Holy Spirit is so amazing that some people have found out that if they just happen to be in the shadow when Peter is walking by, they're healed in the name of Jesus. It's not hocus pocus, it's the name of Jesus. And evil spirits are being cast out, and the good news of the resurrection is being proclaimed, and the religious establishment, the Sanhedrin, that had a lot of the chief priests in there, Sadducees, they become jealous, and they want to put the kibosh on this. So they lock them up. They put them in the common jail, the common prison. Now, here's what we have to understand. The Sadducees were sad, you see. They didn't believe in angels. They didn't believe in the resurrection. They didn't believe in the supernatural. I don't know what kind of religious people they were, to tell you the truth, right? So when the apostles are locked up, and in the night, an angel of the Lord comes and sets them free. This, you see the irony? The Sadducees didn't believe in angels or in the supernatural. And they were trying to do everything they could to stop the proclamation of the gospel, the resurrection. And once they're set free, they're given a commission. Get back to work, guys. Tomorrow's a new day. And as early in the morning, probably 6 a.m., crack of dawn, they're in the temple, and they're healing, and they're preaching again. And then what happens in the aftermath of the text that we didn't hear tonight is that the Sadducees, the Sanhedrin, the Jewish council, they say, well, bring those apostles here because we told them not to preach. What part of not preaching don't they understand? And when they go to the jail, who's there? The doors are securely locked. The guards are still standing their post, but the cells are empty. How in the world did this happen? Huh? And then word comes, hey, you know those guys that we locked up? They're down in the temple again. Those mischief makers, you know what they're doing? We told them to shut up. And the more we tell them to shut up, the more they keep preaching Jesus and the resurrection. So they bring them, but carefully, because they didn't want to start a riot. And they interrogate them, and they say, you guys have got to stop this. We told you, we're trying to be nice here. Don't preach the gospel of Jesus Christ and the resurrection, okay? And then here's what Peter says. Peter and the apostles, Acts 5, 29. We must obey God rather than human authority. The Sadducees say, are you trying to bring this man's blood upon us? Now there's irony. Because if anybody ever says that to you, I hope you say, yeah, sure, you betcha. Because the only way we get saved is if we're covered with the blood of Jesus. I've been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb, right? That's the irony in the text, too. These guys don't believe in angels. They don't know how this is happening. They don't believe in the resurrection. And then all of a sudden, they're hearing a word that says, well, of course, we want to bring this man's blood upon you. We want you to be saved. I mean, you don't write off your enemies. You don't write off unbelievers. You want them to be covered with the blood of Jesus and to be saved. And so you keep preaching. You got your rules, right? I mean, you know all this kind of stuff that happens. Kim Davis, Kentucky, refused to sign her name, her signature, onto a marriage certificate. And somebody said, well, you know, she's such a hypocrite. You know, she's married like 3-4 times, divorced and all this and that. And it's kind of like, yeah, she was. And then Jesus saved her. And she's a new creation in Christ. And now she's living by the will of God and trying to discern and please her Heavenly Father. And so she went to jail for 6 days because we must obey God rather than human authorities. I mean, there's all kinds of stories going around now. God's Not Dead, part 2. Some of you evidently have seen that movie. Evidently, that again is saying, don't be surprised by the fiery ordeal that is coming upon you as though something strange were happening. Understand that in the world we live in right now, in our country, Christians will be persecuted. And when you preach the gospel, some people will persecute you and try to destroy you. They'll become hostile. Other people will simply be indifferent and ignore you, and some people will actually, by the grace of God, through the Holy Spirit, hear the good news. And by repentance and forgiveness of sins, they will come to believe. They will come to believe in Jesus as Lord and Savior. When Peter says we must obey God rather than man, then he says, you killed Jesus. You put him on the tree. He does an indictment against them. But God raised him up, and God exalted him. And it says that the Jewish council was so enraged that they wanted to kill the apostles. But Gamaliel, a Pharisee, he reasoned with them and said, wait a minute, let's not be too rash here. And reason finally prevailed. So you know what they did at the end of chapter 5? They beat those apostles to a pulp. I mean, they didn't just slap them a couple of times. They beat them up badly. And they said, now you get out of here and remember what we told you. You keep your mouth shut. You don't talk about Jesus. You don't do anything in his name anymore. You got that? Because the next time we see you here, it's going to be worse. They threatened them, right? Cease and desist. And you know what the apostles did? You're going to love this. This is kind of like a spoiler alert, because I know you're going to read chapter 5. They praised God that they were counted worthy to suffer dishonor for the name of Jesus. There are Christians around the world right now that are being persecuted that thank God that they're counted worthy to suffer dishonor for the name of Jesus. And then it says, day after day, they did not cease to go into the temple and they canvassed the neighborhood, house to house to house, preaching that Jesus is the Christ. He's the firstborn of the dead. He's the ruler of the kings of this earth. Jesus is the faithful witness. And he holds the keys to death and Hades. He is our get out of jail card. This past week, I was reading a story about Ida Skripnikova. Do you know that name, Ida? Born in 1940 in West Siberia, Russia. She's also known as Ida of Leningrad. Today they call that St. Petersburg. She was raised in a Christian family. When she was only 1 year old, she was a part of an underground church, a secret church. And her father was taken away, and she never saw him again. When she was 11 years old, her mother died. And she and her brother were taken off to another place where they were schooled in atheism. And then suddenly in 1961, by the grace of God, the gospel was rekindled in her life and she came to faith in Jesus Christ. And she realized that her whole life had to be spent. That this is somebody who's about 20 years old. She knew that her whole life had to be spent in telling people about Jesus and the abundant life he gives through his death and his resurrection. She wrote a poem. It's called Happy New Year 1962. So you can imagine what happened when she did this. She had postcards that had sunrise of the harbor, and on the back she wrote her poem. And you can imagine what happened to her when she started to distribute them on the main streets of Leningrad. Our years fly past, one after another, unnoticed. Grief and sadness disappear. They are carried away by life. This world, the earth, is so transient. Everything in it comes to an end. Life is important. Don't be happy-go-lucky. What answer will you give your Creator? What awaits you, my friend, beyond the grave? Answer this question while light remains. Perhaps tomorrow, before God, you will appear to give an answer for everything. Think deeply about this, for you are not on this earth forever. Perhaps tomorrow you will break forever your links in this world. Seek God while he is to be found. And she was passing out these postcards with the sunrise of the harbor, probably a spiritual reminder of her own sunrise, the gift of faith in Jesus in her life. And she got arrested, exiled. In 1965, she did not cease and desist. She got arrested again and served another year in slave labor. In 1968, she got arrested again and 3 years in slave labor because she wanted to celebrate Easter. So by the time she was 30 years old, she'd already been arrested and jailed 4 times for the gospel, for Jesus. And when Ida came out of prison at the age of 30, they said she had aged by decades. But they could not destroy her love for Jesus and her confidence in the gospel. And so she continued. She's in her 70s now. And a lot has changed in the world since then. But she continues to be a witness to the resurrection. An evangelist who died in 1994 named Leonard Ravenhill said, in the early church was married to poverty, persecutions, and prisons. Today's church is married to popularity, personalities, and prosperity. Last night I listened to a thing on YouTube. Whether you are or aren't a fan of Joel Osteen, this was an interesting 15 minutes. They were interviewing him and Oprah. They're pals, you know. And Joel Osteen said, I believe that Jesus is the way, but I believe that there are many paths. And he also said in the interview that it's not his gift from God to preach the scriptures. There are people that know the scriptures better than he does. It's his responsibility to make people feel good about themselves. There are all kinds of people that are bearing witness in our world, folks. But is it Jesus Christ, crucified and risen for the forgiveness of sins? This is the gospel. And may God give us the grace and the joy to say, thank you, Lord, for making me worthy to bear the cross and the shame and the dishonor of suffering in your name. Incarcerated for Christ, put in prison for the sake of Jesus. Jesus is your get out of jail free card. They can't do anything to you because he's the Alpha and the Omega. And he holds in his hands the keys to death and Hades. He sets us free so that we can get back out there and keep bearing witness to the resurrection. Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed.
Amen. 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 We rise as we are able.